All right, there we go. How's everybody doing? This is Mark Lee. We're checking out the Mark Lee Show right now on IBM TV. Hope that everybody is having a wonderful day, and we're going to check it with our guests and see how they're doing very shortly. So that's what we've got going on right here at IBM TV. So we've got a great lineup of guests that are here with us, and we're looking forward to having a very good conversation with them about what's going on in the world and with them. So definitely it should be an amazing conversation. We know that a lot of things are happening in the world these days. So we're going to start everything off. I've got Lakota John here with me, and I've also got Maya Table, who is a filmmaker here. And then we've also got Natalie, who is joining us from over there. I believe it's Pakistan, if I remember correctly, and everything. So we've got a great lineup of guests that everybody. So we're definitely looking forward to having a great conversation and an amazing time here on the Mark Lee Radio Show on IBM TV. So definitely wanted to say hello to everybody. So I'll start off with Lakota. Lakota, how's everything going with you and everything? Are you doing all right?
Man, I'm doing good. What about you? Can you hear me?
I'm doing good. So you're still doing the blues music and all of that kind of stuff. So that's a great thing. And actually, if I remember correctly, I know that a lot of people have got, you know, the protests on their mind and the things that are going on in their mind with the virus and things of that nature. If I remember correctly, you're down there in Robeson County. And I think that Mr. Floyd actually has some connections to Robeson County, if I remember correctly. Is that correct?
Cumberland County, I think, man, which is about 45 minutes from me. And, but I'm just like everywhere else in the world, I mean, we're all struggling with a bunch of different things, especially with COVID right now. Right.
Right.
And, although, you know, a lot of things are, they're expecting to open up and, you know, they're being optimistic about stuff, you know, expecting things to get better. And Robeson County, man, a lot of the numbers are still, rising. They're continuing to increase, man. So it's not getting better here. It's in North Carolina. So
yeah, I agree with you. It doesn't seem to be getting better in Durham that much either. We're seeing cases that are going up as well. How is that impacting your music and everything? Because like I said, I know a lot of musicians are having to do it from home. They're doing virtual performances. Right. They're doing things like that. How is it impacting your music?
Well, most of what I do, you know, I'm on tour a lot of the time, right? I'm on the road all the time. And in many ways, I mean, financially, yeah, it's definitely affected me. But I tell you, man, a lot of opportunities I've gotten that I probably wouldn't have gotten by being, because I got a studio here that I'm in right now. And it's really interesting, man, because now I'm doing a bunch of different things, not only in the blues world, but also working with MIDI stuff and working with pop artists and doing music production and songwriting and stuff for shows and a bunch of, so with being on the road, I probably wouldn't have this opportunity and time to devote to do other stuff, you know? And, but it's great, man. I mean, I'm just kind of, you know, honing my craft and working on what I need to do and, you know, learning filmmaking, learning music stuff. So it's cool. You know, I mean, I don't mind quarantine. You know what I mean? It's cool. So
that's good to know that you don't mind quarantine. I've gotten kind of used to it myself. Probably spending way too much time in the house and not enough time out and about, just because when you go out and about, you got to have the mask and everything else that's going on. I want to bring Maya into the conversation as well. And then, like I said, we'll just continue the conversation going for a while. Who knows? We might even see if you can't crack the instrument and give us a little bit of taste of your music after a while, Lakota. But Maya is a filmmaker. So just wanted to hear from Maya and what she's got going on. Maya, I have to tell you, I was cracking up on the film when I saw the film that you did. It was a film about the dating life. And we all know that sometimes when you're out there in that dating world, you get into all kinds of crazy situations. And of course, there's all those different things out there that involve the dating apps and things of that nature. And there's so many of them out there. But whether it was that, the whole scene was revolving around a laundromat and some social media conversations that were going on. And it just had me cracking up. So tell folks a little bit about your filmmaking and about how you came up with that idea. I understand from the Black Film interview that you did that it was actually based a little bit on your own life and some things that you had gone through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was, first, thank you for having me on the show. And nice to meet you guys and gals.
Nice to meet you.
Actually, my first film, my first narrative film. I primarily am a video producer and director specifically for music videos. So I work with a lot of artists from Janelle Monáe to Migos to Usher to, you know, especially anybody in Atlanta. And so for me to pivot to directing is like, people can say, oh, great, you've produced all this stuff, but what have you directed? So I needed to write something to be able to direct it. And so I was like, let me just go from life experience. And so I just broken up with the guy I was with for 4 years. And so I got on dating apps. And so just from that experience, I was just so flattered and tickled by it. I was like, let me just write something on that film. And so I wrote it and directed it and did the editing for it. And I submitted it to Issa Rae's Short Film Sunday. And they featured it last year as the May Short Film of the Month. So it's been a really cool journey.
Sounds like it's been a real wonderful journey and everything. And I think we've all at one point or another, Lakota, you probably have even used those dating apps, whether we want to admit it or not. We've all gone through those dating app kind of things. And we know that those journeys can sometimes be a little bit ridiculous because sometimes you see the folks and what they claim to be and what they actually are two different stories. So that's kind of what your film revolves around, is how the image that is created might not be the same image as what's out there.
Yes, exactly.
So you said that you've done all that work with the music world as a videographer, and then now you're moving more into the film world. How was that pivot for you? Because like I said, a lot of people try to make that pivot, whether they're doing it on the acting side, because I know there were a number of rap stars that tried to become movie actors, some more successful than others.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it's still kind of a pivot and still kind of learning the space. One thing that I learned from that film is that, like, I didn't submit it into the film festival world. So now I have other films that I directed, because the film festival world is super important. So people in different arenas can get to know you. And then that's how they see you and you get signed to, you know, directors' agencies and things like that. So I'm still kind of learning the process. And so I can let you know in a few months. But it's still a journey that I'm on and still learning more about.
Sounds good. And I'm sure Lakota would love to use your video skills and everything. He's always looking to team up with people and things of that nature. So I might be speaking for him, but I think that I can say that he's always looking for good collaborators and things of that nature.
Oh, yeah, definitely. For sure.
Definitely.
For sure.
So, Natalie, I met you through our mutual friend, Mona Shakes, when you were performing with her and everything. So, and you're in another part of the world. You're over there in, I think it's Pakistan, if I remember correctly, and everything.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about what's going on in your part of the world. And you're actually up at a much different hour than we are at everything, because it's 2 o'clock here. And I think it's a little bit later where you are and everything. So tell us a little bit about your comedy and things that you're doing on that front. And then also just how you got involved in it, because you've been involved in it for a while, I believe. But I just want them to know a little bit more about you and a little bit about how you're doing the comedy. I think you did some here in the States, but then you also did some now in your home country. And of course, that's a whole different world, because I know that Mona did a whole thing on diversity just this past week with some other comedians, and they were talking about how sometimes the freedom of speech isn't as much as y'all would like over there in some of these other countries.
Yeah.
So just share with us a little bit about what you've got going on.
Okay. First of all, hello, everyone. It's like a privilege that I'm here with such talented people. And I think we all have to give it to Corona and quarantine that we have this platform that we can globally talk to different artists all around the world. So I'm a stand-up comedian from Pakistan. I'm a dentist that people don't actually like to believe. Doing comedy in Pakistan is very difficult because, first of all, the acceptance of women being on stage holding a mic is, they don't even accept a woman doing that. And then secondly, talking about things that are taboo. In Pakistan, there are so many things that are taboo, just like dating is a taboo. You can't go on stage and talk about your Tinder experiences without people shaming you and blaming you for destroying the culture. So we're way behind in the past. With the time zone, we're in the future. But when it comes to culture and society, we're way down in the past. So I'm one of those comedians who talks about all these things about breaking stereotypes and taboos. And sadly, I got rape and death threats for that. And I had to leave my country for a while. So I'm like a very controversial celebrity refugee when I was refuging in the US for a bit while I was getting a lot of threats. So it's been a journey. And I'm not backing off. I mean, it's great that now I have an international audience who understand the art and support it. So I'm just on a journey trying to figure out how I can make a change in my society through comedy, because you can say a lot of things in a very comedic way without offending anybody.
Yeah. And Natalie, just out of curiosity, and I want to bring the others into the conversation as well, but how do they take it with you being a dentist as well? Because, I mean, that's like a professional field. A lot of times they want ladies in the Asian countries, I hate to put it, but there's still some of that mentality of going and marrying the rich and successful person, but not necessarily being in a successful field yourself. At least that's what the perception that I'm hearing is and everything. Is that still the case, or are they more accepting of you being in the dental field?
So women in our country become doctors, especially because they get good proposals. So that is the entire mentality. They become a doctor to get married and leave the profession and raise kids, sadly. But yeah, me being a dentist and a stand-up comedian at the same time, my patients don't take me seriously anymore. And I'm like, hey, you got a cavity, you need a root canal. They're like, hey, stop kidding around with me. So, you know, it's really tough balancing both these careers because, you know, they think I'm goofing around all the time.
Wow. And you're over there trying to give them some serious advice on how to have that nice smile like you've got and all of y'all have and everything. Wish I need to go see my dentist. So I need to do better on that. So I'm one of those lazy African-American males that likes to not go see the doctor and the dental folks and everything. So I need to get better on that. So that's one of our downfalls.
Yeah.
Lakota, tell a little bit about your background. Yeah. Go ahead, Natalie.
No. It was just like my mom says that both my professions are aligned. It's all about how many teeth I can take per day.
Wow. Exactly. So, Lakota, tell a little bit about your background. Like I said, I did refer to the fact that, and I have some of that in my ancestry as well, but you come out of the Native American background over there in Robeson County. So just share a little bit about how that brought you to the music and how you still try to incorporate some of your Native American background even in your music.
So back in World War II, my family's originally from Pine Ridge, South Dakota on my mom's side, right? Which is where Lakota comes from. I'll get there. So back in the 50s, my great-grandfather was stationed in Maxton, North Carolina, which is about 15 minutes from Pembroke, which is where I live. And, well, he met a Lumbee lady, and he was a Lakota Indian from Pine Ridge, South Dakota. Well, he met a Lumbee lady. They got together. Several generations later, here I am, right? And so, again, Pembroke's only 15 minutes away. They had a family and everything. And so when he passed away before I was born, but I guess just like every other culture and the Lakota culture and tradition, the youngest child's often given a nickname by the elder. And so he passed away before I was born. And my nickname was Head, because when I was a little boy, I had a huge head. I still got one.
Me too.
But anyway, so I wasn't gifted a nickname in the language, in the Sioux language, but I was named after the tribe. So my birth name is John Lakota Locklear. And anyway, my dad always played music and he sang, and you know, music was always kind of a thing in the house, and it would be playing or what have you. So my parents got my sister a guitar one year. And she really didn't take to it. She wanted to play violin. And but anyway, I was been an aggravating brother one day, just been nosy, went in her room and just picked up her guitar and just started fooling around with it. You know, I didn't know anything. Well, my mom and dad saw that I had an interest in music. Well, anyway, there's a local professor here, and he played music and stuff. And both my parents work on campus at the local university. And so they introduced me to him, and he also played guitar. And so I took a couple of lessons, this and that, and I kind of took it, you know, seriously. I was in school, and everybody was like, you know, this guy's not hanging around us. You know, who is he? This guy's a weird dude, you know. And but most of my friends were older. And But anyway, I started gigging, you know, I stuck with it. I'm about 12 years old at this time. And I continue to travel and play and get more gigs and go, you know, climb the ladder here. Well, one day a friend of mine, older friend, he says, you know, John, I saw an article in the paper. He says, your name is, your name's John, right? I was like, duh. Well, my dad's name's John as well. And so he's Big John and I'm Little John. So he tells me, he's like, John, well, Little John is a rapper, right? You know, I'm like 13. And I'm like, yeah, you got a point. And he says, well, what about if you just switch your middle name and your first name to Lakota John? Hmm. And I says, well, man, that, you know, that's kind of catchy. And so it stuck. And that's actually my name. And, you know, it's tied to my, you know, cultural piece as well. But being a native artist, you know, I really never allowed the native part to define my music because, you know, I don't really do powwow. I grew up around powwows and drumming and flute and this and that. But I really got into roots music at a young age, and I love all kinds of music. And so I started just, you know, touring and traveling and fitting in where I could, you know, and just learning as much as I could and taking advantage of that. And, you know, I continue to travel and tour. Actually, 2020 would have been a great year for me, but COVID decided to visit. So, you know, I'm not doing much other than, you know, what I like to do. So, which is a blessing.
Yeah, that's great. And one of the things I've noticed is that it seems like for all the bad that COVID has done, for all the things that are going on with the protests and everything, and Lakota, you might want to answer, talk to this as Natalie and even you, Maya. It seems like it's done a reawakening of Mother Nature, because it seems like Mother Nature has definitely changed and it's gotten a lot better, because we're seeing, I don't know about y'all, but it seems to me the birds are having a much richer song these days, and they're actually enjoying a little bit of what we're going through and everything. And definitely there's been reports of rivers that are much cleaner than they've ever been around the world. So it does seem like while we're suffering from what's going on, some of the rest of nature seems to be having a respite from some of mankind's ills.
Yeah.
I don't know about you guys, but the whole world is into a turmoil, but I feel a lot of internal bliss. That is because, like, I feel like we're all so static at this point that we've never really felt that. And this is, I'm kind of really liking what's going on internally, you know. I mean, the world is ending, but yeah, I feel good.
Exactly. Most of my career, like, especially last year, was home because I do a lot of post-production work too. So now it just feels like the rest of the world is like me. I'm like, oh, you guys are just doing what I do every day on your community. So it's an interesting adjustment for sure.
Yeah, I know there's other fields that totally had to get adjusted to it. I know some of the teachers had to get adjusted to it and everything. Like I said, I'm not going good in terms of getting out to my medical professionals, but a lot of you folks in the medical professions are doing home visits and doing telecalls and things of that nature. So I imagine that's even going on there in India, where more of the calls aren't there in face-to-face, but they're actually done through the computer, through Zoom and things of that nature because of what's going on in the world.
Yeah,
for sure. My sister is a doula, so all of her clients, you know, usually it's, you know, the mom, the dad, you know, maybe grandparents in the room. Now it's usually only one person. So it's been a huge adjustment for her as well, not being able to be there directly with her, you know, clients. So it's interesting.
Yeah, it definitely.
With the world at a different time and things of that nature. Natalie, if you would, like I said, I'm going to get everybody to do a little bit of their talent. I actually did have a clip of the dating app, which I'm going to try to do a share screen and see if we can't see at least part of your work with that and everything. So I'm not the best at the shared screen, so we're going to see how it works since I don't have my technicians here with me and everything being from home. So we're going to see if that actually works. So I know Lakota's got his instrument, so hopefully he'll get a little bit of chance to strum a note or so for us. I'm going to put you on the spot, Natalie. I'm sure you've got a comedy routine that you can share with us right now that might even talk to a little bit of what's going on in the world. And if you want to lambast either your current administrators in your country or if you want to lambast ours, we have no problem with that. So you can go ahead and lambast all you want to.
Sounds good.
So if you want to, I just would love to hear you share a little bit of your routines, or a routine if you got one that you can think of off the top of your head.
On the spot.
Right. Oh, yeah. I'm like, because usually I do it in my native language, which is Urdu. But like earlier, I did a show for you guys. So I don't really remember the entire thing because I've done it only once, but I'll still give it a shot. So the entire entire order of the world is changing. The East doesn't have water to clean their poop, and the West is facing the same issue because you're all running out of tissue paper. So if you all don't know about the East, we like to wash our asses. And there's a special instrument which is called a Muslim shower, which is a thing attached next to your pot and gives an amazing pressure. So I don't know, the person who invented Muslim shower liked to call it Muslim shower because clearly he didn't want the West to enjoy the pressure in your butt. A lot of girls in the East use it to masturbate as well. Still, it's called a Muslim shower. But I think, like, you know, we should just switch. Like, the East should start using tissue paper and the West should have Muslim shower because you all have water. We don't. So, you know, the prophecy was right. The entire world is going to turn into Muslims once you start using the Muslim shower. And there's an amazing thing, like, you can get married four times. You can have four wives at the same times. And if any of you would want to convert, please come to me. For every one conversion, I go to heaven. not one of my best deliveries, but yeah, on the spot, that's good. All I could do right now.
Great. Really enjoyed it and everything. That was very good, and you definitely brought up some interesting points, because I know that our mutual friend Mona and some of the other comedians have talked about the fact that some of the things that we've always thought of as not being involved in, y'all have been doing for years, like the covering of the face and the washing of the hands on a regular basis. Y'all are probably sitting there going, like, we've been doing this for decades, centuries even.
No, but the thing is that it's so sad that women have been wearing, covering the face all their life, and they have to lift it up while they're eating. And when it came down to Americans wearing a mask, they have been so innovative with it. They have these masks with a zipper in it. I'm like, dude, why did we do that? It's like, all our life we've been like holding onto a whale. It's sad. We have no brains.
Come up with all kinds of great ideas and things of that nature. And definitely, and you're right. A lot of times people do stereotype the Muslim existence because they think that because the fact that there is the rule of being able to have more than one wife, that's the norm there. And from what friends have told me, it's not all it's cut out to be, because you have to take care of all of the things that you're involved in. So that becomes even more problematic than folks think it is.
Right.
Yep. Equally, yeah.
So you want to treat them all equally, that's for sure. And that doesn't always happen. So Lakota, you got your instrument with you. I will put you on the spot as well. And yeah. I have to, before we're talking, so tell us a little bit about, we know that Natalie has done things, and he's going over there looking for his instrument. So no, what is your experience been? Well, there you go. While he's getting set up.
I'm just plugging stuff in.
Okay, cool. While you're plugging stuff in, we know that Natalie says she's had experiences with Tinder. Maya's film touches on Tinder and some other things of that nature. I can't remember, Lakota, whether you've got a wife now or whether you're still on that single train or what's going on, and how have you had your experiences with those dating apps? Have you had any luck with them, or are you sitting there getting just frustrated with them?
Well, actually, I'm glad you brought that up, because this next song that I'll do is basically a description of all of this. So I was in a relationship for about 3 years, had a girlfriend for a while. And well, when I started touring and traveling, as you know, that it's stressful in a relationship, right? So I was in Italy for a month, and I lost my phone in a taxi I didn't have a phone for like 2 weeks.
Oh.
And she was like, you know, you don't reach out, you don't communicate, this and this and this. Well, you know, all along, I think she wanted space, right? So the whole thing was, you know, I started to understand, you know, after this, I'm friends with this lady, she's about 67. She gave me this book called The Anatomy of Love. And I started reading it, and I really got into it. And, but looking at, you know, and I'll tie this into Tinder and everything else. I think really the primal needs of humans, you know, we really want to feel safe and secure, safety and security. And, you know, is really the root, right? Whether it's the app, whether it's, you know, whatever thing it is, right? that's kind of like the primal thing in the future, right? You know, obviously we're not thinking about this on the first date. Maybe we are some, you know, like, and there always comes this point though, you know, like whenever you're on the app, like, what are you looking for? Right. For men, oftentimes it might be sex, right? For women, they might be looking for something serious. It might not be that. You never know until you start going down that path, right? Well, and then when you start going down that path, it's kind of like, okay, well, yeah, we go to the date, this and that. It's always like, what next, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, have y'all experienced that? It's, you know what I mean? And so... well, this is what I, and I'm telling my, all my buddies, I'm like, man, you know, guys, sex can complicate a lot of things, you know, and they're like, John, dude, you're gay. You know, you're like, I'm like, no, I'm really thinking about this logically. Like, I mean, once you start to go down that path, I don't want all of the other stuff that's attached with it oftentimes. So, but no, I'm single. This is Buffy. And yeah. And so this guitar was built for me. And so her and I travel the world together. You know, we make money together. She never texts me. She never, you know, wonders, where have you been? All this stuff. And it's an easy relationship. You know, I think this will be the easiest relationship I'll ever have until I die. So I said all of that to say this, as I continue plugging up my stuff, I'm going to run all of my audio through this mic, so okay, bear with good. Me.
We will bear with you and everything for sure while he's getting that set up and everything. So, Natalie, other than the comedy and the dentistry work, that's enough. So, I'm trying to figure out, would you even have time to try to find a social life there in Pakistan? Because you've got all this work going on, and I know that the Pakistanian life is very much a family oriented. So, I imagine you probably still stay with your folks, or at least the folks are nearby. So, I'm trying to figure out when you have time for a social life.
Yeah, there's, other than that, I have my own startup as well. I have a company called The Jungle. I throw events. That's something I started because we don't have entertainment events in Karachi, in Pakistan. Yeah, and I am living with my parents, so they're always questioning me when I'm going out because they're afraid I'm going to get corona and they're going to die of it. But I'm like, dude, you guys need to chill. So yeah, that's the argument every day with my dad. I'm like, Dad, I'm going out to work. He's like, no, you're gonna get sick and you're all gonna die because of you. So
yeah. What about yourself, Maya? Are you still close to your family, and are they worried about it as well? Because I imagine you probably have some relatives that are older. I'm actually falls not that far from the age that a lot of people are concerned about. I will turn the big 5'8" on 7'1" on July 1st. So getting up there in age, but my dad's about to turn 80 in 2 weeks, and he's still out there exercising, still out there doing amazing things. Yeah. I think he's discovered the Fountain of Youth, and I thought the Fountain of Youth was somewhere there in Asia. I think he found it somewhere in North Carolina, and he's not telling me, so I need him to tell me where he's got it hidden at, because I don't know where he's got it, but he's got it somewhere.
My parents are the same way, so every day is like calling them to make sure that, are you in the house? Where are you going? It's so hard to just keep them in one place. So usually it's like me going to see them and just asking them what they need. And they are really loving like Instacart now. And they finally started to use that. But they are, it's kind of like having teenagers. I'm just like, the tables have turned because they want to go out and about. They want to hang out with people. So it's just been really trying to, you know, keep them contained in one place. I'm just like, when they say at risk, they're talking about you people, because they will call their friends and say, you know, they said at that seniors, they don't think they're seniors, you know, so they're both over 70. I'm like, seniors is you, you know, okay. So, you know, it's fun being able to connect with them more.
Yeah, well, I'm sure. And I think if I remember correctly, I don't want to get in.
Is he stuck?
And between 20 and 40, that also need to be concerned as well, because sometimes that can also impact and be impacted. I know a lot of folks that are even doing the protest are young folks in their 20s and 30s. And sometimes I think that they think that they can't catch anything. I mean, not even worrying about bringing it to their older relatives, but they're also thinking that they can't catch anything. And we know that that's not the case.
Exactly. And we missed the front of that sentence because your screen paused, but we caught the end. So, yes. All right.
Yeah, I was just making the statement about how it can be a lot of the young folks can think that they're not going to catch the disease, but it's definitely something that can go on throughout ages, through genders, orientation, everything. It seems to be an equal opportunity disease these days.
Whether you're healthy, whether you're not, I think when COVID first started, people were saying, oh, you know, it's only this small group of people, but it's like, no, it's everybody.
Exactly. You ready, Lakota? Oh, I think he's on. Can't hear you.
Lost your sound. Yeah.
Look, lost the sound. Hold on a second. He's going to try to adjust the sound.
Is he playing for himself?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we hear you now.
Okay. Good. That is a good sign. What about now? Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah. I'm not going to do it
tomorrow. Natalie, you need that mic for when you do comedy online. That is awesome.
Yeah.
Can you hear the guitar?
Yep.
Perfect. My G string is out of tune.
Oh no, Buffy!
Oh no!
Buffy's acting up!
Buffy, right. Y'all didn't know I wore G string, did you? Now you know.
You gotta hit the right G spot of Buffy.
There you go.
That's what Buffy's upset about.
Well, you know, right. Well, you mentioned the masturbation thing, and I was like, "Well, should I get a bidet? Is like that the American equivalent to the Muslim shower?"
I think that's what we call it here in America is the bidet. So I think it would be basically
the equivalent. Okay.
Basically the same thing. All right. So this song is called "Where Do We Go From Here." This is going to be bugging me the whole song. Y'all bear with me.
No problem.
Buffy has been left alone. I just got to the studio and she was out of her case, so she doesn't like me right now.
We already see it why the problem is with you and the ladies. You keep leaving them alone.
Nice part.
Yeah.
And then you can complain about them being needy.
I know. So it's not y'all, it's me. That's my line. It's not you, it's me.
This is an intervention. Yes, it's you.
Oh my god.
Online intervention. We're having an online intervention. And I've just learned we have at least one listener. I think you brought the only listener in because I'm getting comments from a guy named Trev Howell, who apparently is in Pakistan because he told me that it's 1,000 degrees in Pakistan right now. So apparently he thinks that it's very hot there.
It is really hot.
Why? There we go.
That I can't give you, don't whisper in my ear, asking for things I won't do. Where do we go from here? Things are so right the way I like them. I see you shed a tear. You're wanting more, I fear. Sail away in our land of dreams for a day. Let the moments be. Life is so nice this way. Why can't it stay uncomplicated? Let's keep it for a day. Let the memories stay. ends up in hurt and spoils the beauty. We've had a nice affair. Let's smile and leave it there. Let's smile and leave it there.
Thank you, Lakota. That
was awesome. Hey, that's great.
Good job. Appreciate it. That was good. Definitely was appreciated awesome. That. So I'm going to pull up Maya's short, or at least parts of it, everything. But while I'm doing that, and I got to hit the share screen as well, while I'm doing that, what do y'all think about what is going on in the world? We're getting a little serious here now and everything, but just want to hear y'all's comments on how you feel things are going in the situation. And I mean both with COVID, but also with the protest, because we do know that the Black Lives Matter movement has definitely seen a lot of growth here in this area. And we're seeing people around the world that are recognizing a lot of things that need to be changed around the world. So I'll start with the worldview, and then I'll go to Maya and Lakota. But Natalie, what is the view from Pakistan? I know sometimes people forget that there's all kinds of issues going on in countries like yours as well. So just in terms of what's going on, how are folks reacting to what's happening in Pakistan, and what are your thoughts on what's going on with George Floyd and just the street protests that are taking place?
Yeah, firstly, because about Corona, sadly, our country and people do not even understand that there's a disease out there. They wouldn't like to believe it. So that has been a lot of issue because we just had our celebration, which is our festival, which is just like Christmas. And a lot of people went around meeting people. And we had a lot of cases in this past last week, more than 5,000 cases now. And sadly, we can't close down this country because our economy is suffering and we don't have the support system like people do in the US where you get unemployment. So we don't have anything like that in Pakistan. So we have to save the country. We have to feed the people, keep the country open and keep the safety as well, because we don't even have great healthcare system. We don't have enough ventilators. So there's a lot of crisis going on right now. And when we talk about racism, sadly, we are brown and we have been criticized by our parents and by people in our family for playing outside. We have always been asked to put on fairness creams. We have always been criticized of our color. When a guy is looking for a girl in marriage, he's always looking for a girl who's fair. So we've been through that complex, and then colonialism as well, where people here are like white supremacists. Because so there's a lot of, so I ask people when they're putting on their black DPs in order to show solidarity to the black lives. And I'm like, first, we need to fight this issue in our home. My mom is still going to question me if I go out in the sun, and she's going to tell me that I look like a janitor's daughter. That's a bad word that she uses. But yeah, we have to fight this at our homes first. And obviously, we have been down to slavery as well. Brown people, Asian people have been looked down upon as well. So I think the entire world order is changing, and every change is difficult. So we have to stick around through this time. But I feel like with this current situation, capitalism is going to die. I hope that everything becomes global, so everybody can benefit it equally. So yeah, it's a tough time, but we all have to survive and make it through. And when it comes down to spirituality, I feel very awakened. I feel like, just like you mentioned, that Mother Nature is taking a revenge or waking up. So a lot of people are having their spiritual awakening. And I feel like that's all we need to do. We need to end the emotion of ego and fill ourselves with love, because this world was created for love. And sadly, we have been so corrupt and so evil that it's like we're in detention now. We're grounded. So this time is a lot of our self-reflection, when you go inward and figure out yourself and what everything is. Oh my God, Mark left. Oh no, he's there.
Natalie, new host of the show.
Right. I think that's real though.
I want to start playing improv games with you.
Oh.
Okay, let's play word to word. So okay. I'm gonna say a word. Whatever comes to your mind, and just say it.
Okay.
Moon.
Sun.
Earth.
Sky.
Mother.
Nature.
One more word, guys. This is like a.
Okay, hard.
Triangle. Hard.
Wait. Oh.
Wait, what'd you say?
You said triangle, right? No, you said you meant.
Yeah.
I said square.
Foot.
Ankle.
Ball.
Chiropractor.
Back.
Headphones. Headphones.
Guys, we need to find another way to entertain ourselves. Maya, you go ahead.
No, the computer's back. The computer was having a moment, but I'm back. You were saying how you were going to talk about the difference in the that when I got cut off, and I'm trying to bring back up your film and everything, and that's what I was doing when we got lost. But you were talking about just the nature of. Get my thoughts together, Mark. The nature of what goes on with classism and racism, even in India. And Lakota, I wanted you to talk to that as well, because we know that sometimes even the Native community gets caught up in kind of that racism and classism and things of that nature. And I know that sometimes folks will share some of their, be of mixed heritage, might be of African-American and Indian heritage, and sometimes either claim one side or the other. And some people only claim one side that, they might have more feelings about and everything. So just want to hear some of your thoughts on that.
Well, you know, I know a lot of people personally, man, that's like, they don't want to, and I know both sides, you know, they don't want to be Indian. They don't want to be black. And they're good in between, you know what I mean? And, but I see like, you know, this constant, you know, back and forth with side to side, whenever something like this happens, you know, for example, with George Floyd and everything in the media, right? And, you know, I think, you know, and I hear a lot of stuff, all lives matter, Black lives matter, this and this and this, when really, you know, it comes down to, especially with Natives and Blacks historically in the region, you know, of North Carolina, I mean, we all had to come together at one point, right? We didn't have any other option, you know, because in swampland, as you know, in Robeson County, man, I mean, you will get eaten alive in the swamp. You know, if you're not sticking together with your, you know, partner, you know, you're clipped, right? And so, you know, I look at this, you know, this thing that, well, why could, how is it that we could stick together during the fact, during oppression back in the early 1900s, the 1800s, 1700s, nearly 200-300 years ago? But now, you know, all of a sudden we can't seem to come together, right? It seems like we're all, you know, separated. It's just that these matter, or just that this matters. And, you know, and it's really, you know, I was thinking about on the way over to the studio that 200-300 years ago, if somebody had Facebook, if someone had a smartphone, right, and the genocide and the massacre and a lot of the slavery and stuff, if someone was over there, like with their iPhone like this, that would be the national headline, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the thing that I continue to think about, man. And it's like, what can it do to stop? Because it continues to go on, right? But, you know, you can't win with the government. You can't win with Uncle Sam, you're right? You can't win with anything, right? And so instead of being, you know, doing this, instead of, you know, meshing and being able to come together and I mean, because protesting's everywhere. I don't know if you've seen it in Fayetteville, because that's where it was from. Yeah. I mean, J. Cole was there. A lot of people, they were there. And, you know, I think that everyone just wants peace, man. Peace and love, kind of, Natalie, you know, what you were talking about is – you know, this is a time to not fight, but to like come together and like Earth is giving us a break. You know, we're giving her a break. She's like, well, hey, this is y'all's time to figure it out. You know, don't do this. Don't fight. You know, I'm healing. You guys should heal.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And
what about your thoughts on that, Maya? I know Atlanta's had a lot of protests and things of that nature. So what have been your observations about what's going on?
Well, you know, it's definitely been a heavy, you know, few months, and definitely heavy few weeks. And, you know, the pandemic was already a huge adjustment for everybody mentally. And I think, you know, the George Floyd situation is something that we see all the time. Like, I've been seeing literally for years. So for me, it's nothing new. I'm just like, I see it all the time, especially as a filmmaker. But I think right now why it's been such a big deal is that people are home. They've been home all day. So they literally don't have anything else to do but protest, which is a great thing. You know, people have time now to read, to watch those videos, to listen. Yeah. So, you know, in one perspective, I think it's really, really the timing has been perfect. We know it sucks that he passed away, but the silver lining is that, you know, it's a time where people are able to listen and to hear, even with the NFL apologizing, you know, about kneeling. I'm like, that would never happen, you know. So it's a shame that it took his passing to make people kind of wake up a bit. And just I try to look at the positive part, you know, when people say all lives matter, you know, all lives do matter, but, you know, the focus at the moment is on Black lives. Just like if it's something that happens in a different country or, you know, something that happens in the Asian community, Black people are the first to stand up for everybody else. So at that moment, their lives, if they do, you know, Asian lives or whatever, we're going to go with that. But at the moment, that's what Black lives matter. So it's not saying that the rest of the lives don't matter. It's just saying, right, you know, let's just focus on this. And I love when someone said, it's like, you know, going to a cancer walk and saying, you know, like, well, AIDS matter too. It's like, AIDS does. We're fighting, you know, to get a cure for AIDS. But right now, this is about cancer, you know. So it's just kind of like staying focused. And I think as an African-American woman, is just trying to be in a good mental space and, you know, getting off of social media, because social media can be super heavy. So, you know, just trying to find joy. And also as an artist, deciding like, hey, post something, feeling that pressure, like, oh, I'm an artist, do I have to like speak? Do I have to create something? So just kind of, you know, finding that balance to, you know, doing things that make me happy as a person.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. We do have some folks asking stuff on the website and everything, and some of the questions, I don't know where they come from. So I'm just going to raise the question and then we'll let y'all go from there. And then I'm going to bring up the film as well, because I did figure that out doing that little disappearing act that I pulled and everything. So the question was, somebody had asked whether Islam had been able to weaken the caste system that exists in Pakistan. So I guess that was directed to you, Natalie. So I don't know how that caste system, whether it's still very active in Pakistan or whether it's changing it at all, or whether some of the religions that are there now are changing or breaking some of those bonds that used to exist in the past, or they still have some of those old values that are still existing.
The entire world fights Islam and Muslims, and sadly, Muslims fight with each other as well. So we have caste systems, Shia, Sunni. So there's a lot going on. And sadly, we have some, like, you have priests, we have mullahs, maulvis, who are always caught teaching the wrong things. So our religion has been manipulated a lot. It's not how it's supposed to be. It has never been about extremism. It has always been about love, like every other religion, like spirituality. But sadly, it has been made into a business. So we suffer a lot with what our priest or maulvis are saying on television, and you're always fighting it because they're always sexist, they're always looking down on women, and they're always saying problematic things. So like the way in quarantine people have a lot of time and they're protesting. A lot of people in Pakistan and religious countries are protesting these priests who are always teaching the wrong things, because people now have become vocal, and we don't have freedom of expression. If even I today tweet about something like that, I'll get bashed about it and probably get threatened to take it off. But during this time, people have been talking about a lot of issues that matter, just like about something like happened with you guys. Same thing happened where a 7-year-old girl who was serving as a maid at someone's house, she was beaten to death because she freed a bird. So a lot of issues like these are coming up and people are talking about it, because we have child labor, we have child abuse. We have a lot of issues regarding women in our country. We don't have a voice. Every day women are beaten and they're like oppressed. So, but thanks to Corona that people are spending time on issues and talking about it and tweeting about it and protesting. So I feel like this is a time where things can actually change, the things that matter. And I like to believe that God is a Black woman. So We gotta save the black lives.
Definitely, I can agree with that and everything. Lakota, the other question that somebody asked is, I guess they wanted you to expand a little bit on the five civilized tribes, and I know that that's something that exists within the Native American culture, and I don't remember all of what the tribes are myself. So if you know that answer and can expand on that a little bit, one of our listeners was asking about that.
Five civilized tribes. I'm thinking about something else maybe that not state recognized tribes, right? Is that
yeah,
is
I
that
think that's what you're referring to.
Oh, okay. So I do know that there are eight, well, I think, state recognized tribes versus and I think maybe only two, maybe even one have a federal recognition, which are the let me go ahead and state this. All tribes are federally recognized. However, all tribes do not receive federal funding, like, for example, the Navajo tribe or the Hopi tribe or something like that. So, and I mean, for me as a Lumbee in Robeson County, I mean, I know a lot of people here, they're looking for federal recognition, and I'm like, we receive a lot of federal funding. Now, the government, they don't own their land. You know, there's a lot of people who own their own, property and stuff, and we're not on a reservation. So, there are stipulations and things, underlying things that people don't really understand that come with full federal recognition, and I think the tribes are Cherokee, Lumbee, Halawasapone, Coheri, maybe. I think that's one. So that's four. Let's see, Waccamaw Suwan. There's trying to think of the other ones.
I'll Google it for you.
Google it. Figure it out. And actually, I think we got an answer from them. We're gonna break the.
I know six.
Yeah, we'll break the seriousness for a minute and everything, because I'm going to let us check a little bit of Maya's film, and then we do have some answers from our listeners that are watching and everything. But right now I'm going to pull up. We're going to hopefully I don't disappear, but if I do, just continue the conversation. But we're going to see if this will work, because it says that it's going to share, so we're going to see if this works.
Hey, what are you doing here? I've been thinking about keeping on my mind heavy. No, the spirit told me. Wait, before you answer, are you surprised? There's no way.
Yeah, we don't want to watch the ad, so we're going to skip that so we can't get to the actual film. There we go.
Okay. No. 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 No.
Thanks a lot, Tuffy.
He could be cute. I squinted and turned my phone sideways. That's definitely not my type. Oh, he's cute.
I like his style and his...
Never mind. Oh. Mm-mm. Hey, babe. Hey, Sadie. Wow. But not just Sadie, but Sadie. Ooh,
train doesn't take pennies, then there needs to be a sign that says that.
Girl!
What? Zaddy. Oh my god, that's him. Oh my god, that's Zaddy from the app.
Oh my god, that's so beautiful.
Yeah, yep. Oh, fuck.
Shit, look at my hair.
Why, Lord, why?
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 Oh, shit, he's looking.
Do I say hi first? Like, oh, yeah. Okay, No. I should, send a wink. Yep. Guys like winks. Yeah. You like that?
Don't want to give up all of the film, Maya, but that's the film and everything. And like I said, it goes on for a few more minutes of everything. So I don't know if you want me to let the rest play. I can let it play, but I didn't want to take all the suspense.
Yeah, I know we have the rest of the show to go. So yeah, it's cool. It's just a few minutes later, but check it out. It's on youtube.com/Issa Rae. And it's about 9 minutes long. And at the end of the film, it shows screenshots that I got on when I was on a few dating apps. So. You know, this is all entertaining and charming.
It's very charming. Like, I'm just too thrilled when you're rolling through the floor.
What's the name of it?
And I want to know where you got the cute dog from.
Yeah, it's called Dating App. Oh, that's my dog. He actually has made a bunch of cameos and a bunch of music videos, too. He is a star.
Nice.
Sounds great. So, Natalie, tell us a little bit about your own experiences. Is there even a Tinder in Pakistan? Is there a Pakistan Tinder?
Yes, I was really scared to use Tinder in Pakistan because, you know, men are very creepy in Pakistan. Yeah. And Tinder in Pakistan is not even consensual because you know how you have to right swipe in order to talk? They message me on Facebook, Instagram, even on LinkedIn and send me like really creepy texts. So, yeah, I tried it in the US for the first time. I tried a lot of cuisines. I don't know why I ended up going on a date with this Indian dude. If you don't know, Pakistan and India have been on war since like the start. So he picks me up and his car was smelling like curry. I was like, damn, that's a bad start. And then we go to a bar and after every 15 minutes, he looks at me and bobs his head and asks me, are you falling in love? I was like, it always only gets bad from here. So yeah. Yeah, and I don't even like uncircumcised dicks anyway, so that was a bad experience.
You're sitting there going like, nope, don't want this. This is not happening.
Yeah.
Like, this is going to be problematic and everything. Now, is the dating situation better now that you're back home? Because, I mean, it sounds like it would even be worse because it's very restrictive in Pakistan.
Yeah, I mean, we live with our parents, so it's not like we have a space of our own where we can, like, you know, hook up. When we have to hook up, we get married.
So the hookup is the marriage.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have spaces to try out where we're going to do stuff, you know. It's just, even if we try to book a room in a hotel, they want to check our IDs to make sure we're married. So the dating culture in Pakistan is the worst.
Wow. Now, I know in India, which, like you said, y'all have been at war forever and everything, but I know in India there's the whole big traditional wedding with, I believe it's an elephant in India. Is it the same thing in Pakistan that after the bride and groom is married, they have like the big Indian wedding with the elephant coming down? I think here when they've done it in the U.S., they've done a white horse instead of a white elephant because we don't have that many elephants in the U.S., but that can be just spared. But I was wondering if it's the same thing in Pakistan.
We don't have the elephant, but it's definitely very similar to what India does. We have a lot of festivities. We have a wedding which goes on for an entire month. And how much we look down upon sex. But after the night, after the marriage night, there's another function to celebrate sex. It's called Valima. And everybody goes and asks the bride and groom, did you fuck? And when they say, yeah, they're like, hey, now we can feast. It's halal. We're like, yeah. So it's really messed up how my culture works.
Wow. See, you have it better in America, Maya. You thought it was problematic here, and we're learning that it's much better in here than in other countries. So looks like we've got a lot better, but I'm sure there are things that have happened in your dating life that you're sitting there going like, it was just as bad. So you saw you rolling in the floor in the video, but share some of your personal stories as to what you've gone through in your nightmare moments.
Me? Have I had super nightmare moments? Because I do a good job of like stalking people before I go on a date with them. And just like, so when I go on a date with them, it's like, I already know all this information, you know? So, but the worst one I had was a guy. I met on Tinder, and he showed up to the restaurant we went to, I think like an hour late. And so I was getting ready to get into the car, and then he was like, no, come back, let's meet, let's eat. So I ate, it was a fun time, but I could tell he was trying to get me drunk. And I'm a lightweight, so I usually on dates I only have one drink, it's two and I'm done. And then so the check came, and sometimes I'll do the thing where I like reach for my purse to like, should I pay? This time I didn't even do it. I was like, you know what, you're late, so I'm just gonna not even reach my purse. And so he was like, you got any cash on you? I was like, mm-mm. He was like, okay, so he gave the card, his card declined. He was like, okay, I gotta, you know that Kevin Hart line, gotta transfer it from my check into my savings. He said that line. And so the card declined three times. And I was like, well, I guess I'm just gonna have to pay for myself. And then it went through the fourth time. And he was like, oh my God, I really enjoyed this date. And then the next day I got food poisoning. So that was the worst date I've been on.
Wow.
You had
to deal with both the horrible finances and the fact that he took you to a bad restaurant.
Yes. It was just like, oh, terrible. And then he texted me. He was like, I had a great time. Let's do it again. No, you're blocked, sir. But other than that, the dates have been pretty okay.
Oh, that's good to know.
Hey, I have one exciting experience I want to share. Oh, no, Dakota, go ahead.
No. I actually had a question. No, I mean, for you, do you like how your dating world is and how the whole thing in Pakistan? I mean, do you, that's the culture. I mean, do you not mind it or you just hate it?
Yeah. Of course, I hate it and I'm trying to change it as much as I can. Thank God that my parents are not like that. They married out of love. My dad ran away from house to get married to my mom. So they had like a heroic, dramatic wedding. So they're very vocal like that. I share about all my boyfriends, and my dad is a sexologist in Pakistan. So that's kind of a huge deal. So thank God my parents are open to all these things. But yeah, I have a very exciting Tinder experience to share. This one time I was in Atlanta and I matched this Taiwanese guy who was living in the US. He was born and bred there. So he followed. So we met for like two dates and then I went to Houston. He flew to Houston after me. And then he came to Pakistan for me after meeting me for 7 days. Oh, and this guy wanted to marry. Yeah, that was like the most exciting Tinder experience ever. This guy lives in the US and he flies down all the way to Pakistan for me. He goes to Pakistani weddings. He got stomach flu. He danced to wedding songs with me. He was in love.
But what happened to him?
I wasn't really into him.
Oh, man.
He's all into you. You're not into him. That's just wrong. Lakota, tell us about one of your experiences. And I've got one that I'm going to share with y'all. Just a nightmare. And it was 20 years ago. So I don't even know if the woman's still around. But I'll share it with y'all in a second. So Lakota, share yours.
So y'all remember when I said that I was primarily raised around a bunch of older people? You know, like 90% of my friends are at least 50. So... you know, I'm kind of old school. I like to meet people organically, right? And I mean, I do have Tinder. I do, and I actually have never been on a Tinder date. Now, what was weird? I do have a semi weird experience. I saw my ex on Tinder before, right? And I mean, I swiped, you know, not, I mean, obviously I found her attractive. I mean, we were together for forever, but, so we actually matched, and, so she messaged me, but I never messaged her back, but, and I'm not kidding. I mean, I don't need the whatever. I got like 15 matches in my Facebook dating and Tinder and stuff, and I never just reach out because I'm like, it always goes back to like, where do we go from here? You know what I mean? Like, it always gets to a point, like the dates, like after the date and after, I mean, like, why go through all, what am I looking for? I mean, for me, I'm just like, I'm just hanging out, man. I'm just, I'd rather much travel and do that and meet someone that way, mm-hmm. as opposed to, you know, swipe. Oh, she's cute. And be like, oh my God. You know, like, okay.
Well, I go through it. I agree. The experience I had was like 15 years ago. And it was actually somebody I met at the, you know, there's a big theater festival here, the National Black Theater Festival. So I met her. We communicated back and forth. And at some point I was like, you need to come and visit me. So they came and visited me from Houston. So they came all the way from Houston, flew into the hotel. I met them over at the hotel. And I made the mistake of inviting them during a family outing. Lakota, you know how it is in some of these country towns. Don't invite people to a family outing. That was my first mistake. So I invited them to the family outing. They came to the family outing. At the time, my great aunt was living. I think it might have even been at her house. So they came to the family outing and were enjoying themselves. But at some point, they started like crocheting in the middle of being there as supposedly my date and everything. And my folks are looking over there looking at me like, who is this woman and why is she over here crocheting in the middle of everything, basically ignoring us. Now, right. I have two, and you definitely relate to this because it's a country thing that's going on that I'm about to refer to. But, you know, if you got folks that are in the country, we know how to make, not me personally, but some folks in the country know how to make what in the old school might be called white lightning, but basically homemade wines and things of that nature. So I had a great aunt and a great uncle that was very good at making that stuff. So he was back there making his concoction in his back little area, back den, whatever. And my brother was back there with his, I think it might have been his first wife because he'd been married a couple of times. So he was back there and they were down there and having drinks and things of that nature and having a good old time. They called me back there. And so I enjoy a sip or two. And then eventually she realized what was going on. So she came down there and started having sips and everything. You're talking about a total 180 degree turn. Like I just told you, this person had basically been ignoring everybody. She started having that wine, started enjoying that wine. She was the most social person I've ever seen. So she was like just having this total social moment, things of that nature. And everybody's like, what happened? Dr. Yeah. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, what happened? What's going on here? And the uncle at that time that was living, his last name was Lyons. And I know there's a famous Lyons farm that's the actual Lyons farm. So we went back to the hotel. She, you know, got situated back to the quiet, not paying any attention to me, ignoring myself. And then she caught her plane back home to Houston. But as she was leaving, she was like, can you, whatever you do, be sure to tell your uncle I need some of that Lyons farm shipped to Houston. And I'm sitting there going like, you ignored me the whole time. And because you had this wine and you enjoyed yourself with this wine, you're going to be wanting the Lyons farm. Didn't want me to come to Houston. Wanted the wine to come to Houston. So I'm just going like, no, not happening. So that was one of my bad experiences. And, you know, it still goes on to this day and everything. Because I don't know about the rest of y'all, but even in this modern day, I love the folks that send you the notes. And don't take this wrong, Natalie. And it's not always folks from the other countries. But they usually are from Russia, sometimes Pakistan, or some of the other countries. And they sit there and they tell you how wonderful they are. And then you talk to them. For some reason, these women start sounding like men, so that automatically gives you a suspect that it's not the same, that it's not an actual woman, that it's something else going on, because, you know, they call you and you're like hearing a man's voice, and it's like, no, they're like, this is Rosalie. Yeah. Like, no, you do not sound like a Rosalie. You sound like a man. Try to sound like a Rosalie. But they tell you that they've got this going on, and then, you know, somewhere in the middle of it all, they'll be like, oh, can you send me $25? And then after that, it's like, can you send me $100? Can you send me $1,000? You're sitting there going like, no, don't have that kind of money. So not happening. But yeah, there's that whole catfishing thing. I don't know if we need to know it's catfish, but it's a nightmare.
Well, one thing that I see.
I'm embarrassed.
I meet people all the time. And like, I can, just like you were saying with the girl and the wine, Mark. I mean, oftentimes, even on a date or even on, like, if I'm just meeting someone that I find attractive, you know, that I meet enough of people that I can pick up on little things, you know, early on, you know, and I know that this is the, this is potentially just the glimpse of what this person is or their tendencies or something. And over a period of time, it will grow. Right. You know, and that's the thing. I you know, I get involved early or I look early, I should say, before I do get involved. And I'm like, you know, do I want to see more of this? Right. You know, I mean, to me, it's common sense. I'm like, it's not even worth the sex. It's not worth none of that stuff because I don't even want to take it further. Right.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, I've had people say, John, you're too nice or you care about people too much. And I'm like, you know, I mean, I'm a, I guess, you know, I mean, that's just the way I am, I reckon.
Yeah, sometimes you just care too much, and sometimes folks just kind of like want to put their views on you and everything. Now, yeah. I do have a question, and it's just to the ladies and everything. Now, the one thing that I will say is that sometimes, and I imagine it varies from country to country, but some of our American women are too quick to be ready to like jump into the, make the relationship even further than it actually is. Cause like you go out on a date or two, doesn't matter whether you're 50s or 40s or your 30s or your 20s. And they're like ready to like run you off to the wedding bells and everything. And you're sitting there going like, wait a minute, I'm still trying to figure out if I like you. And don't even add the element if they've got kids or not. Cause then you got to figure out if you like kids, but they're just ready right. to like jump into the automatic. Let's take this relationship all the way into the advanced state and everything. So I do see that happen quite often that they'll be sitting there going like, you know, ready. It can be one date and then they're ready to like, you know, take you off to the ring store. I do remember one person like I dated too, you know, like, by the ring store to try to give you hints.
Whenever you aren't like that, men are like that too. It's crazy. You know, it's like, yeah. Like I've been hitting duds on Tinder the past year. I just go in there for kicks now. But the bios of the men are just, I'm like, who hurt you? You know, it's just like, I'm here for love. I swipe right if you don't want to talk. I'm just like, oh, men are out here hurt. So it's not just the ladies. Maybe it's quarantine. Maybe it's wearing them down. I don't know.
Well, like,
yeah, know, man, I think they're. Go ahead,
Natalie. No, well, I was just saying, like, my whole thing is like, at the end of the day, like whatever, I'm like, where do we go from here? Just like the song, like,
wherever you
want to
go,
you know. And that's
the thing. Hey, but it's all about the present moment. Why do you care about where do we go from there? You know, just you should enjoy now.
I mean, yeah, but you know, it never stops.
You're worrying too much.
But you know, it never stops there. Let's be real, Natalie. It never stops there.
That is true. That is true. I mean, you mentioned about women asking to go to get married soon. I think there are both kinds of women. Like, we grew up playing with dolls. Of course, you want to get married and have babies because we have been brainwashed that way to care about babies as a kid. But I feel like now the new culture within all of feminist movement, especially in Pakistan, girls are the new douchebags. Like, they dump guys. They're there to just, you know, have a good time and that's it. So guys in Pakistan are now getting emotional, like, this girl dumped me, but I wanted to get married to her. So, you know, the culture is slowly changing that it's like, you know, it's about the feminist movement that they're like, we're too independent. We don't need the emotional drama. Yes, we do need sex, occasional casual sex. So I think the culture is changing. Mark, you have been meeting the wrong women. Come to Pakistan. I'll find you a really nice wife who can make you chapatis and like Indian food.
I'll have to keep that in mind. I didn't meet the wrong ones. I got to come back with that. But see, that's I'm quarantined, and you know they're not allowing flights, so I don't know how I'm gonna get there. And I don't swim, so I can't even swim there. Even if I could swim.
Once this is over, you all three have to come to Pakistan.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Want to come there for sure. It's on my list of places to visit. I did want to comment on some of these things that folks said. Just to continue the conversation for a while, but somebody that it looks like they went to St. Aug, which we know is a historical black college, but to some of your earlier comment, they said, all others matter, but why does it only happen to blacks on a regular? That is why they say Black Lives Matter. So they're feeling that it doesn't happen, that we don't hear about it happening to other societies. I do think that it happens to the Latin folks. I mean, we saw what happened with DACA and the folks that were going on in Latin America, Hispanic culture and things of that nature. So maybe not so much with the police, but other parts of oppression definitely still goes on. And then Trev did answer about the five tribes. He said the word civilized was applied to the five tribes because broadly speaking, they had developed extensive economic ties with whites or had assimilated into the American settler culture. Some members of the Southeastern tribes, so I guess he was talking about the Southeastern tribes, had adopted European clothes and spoke English, practiced Christianity, and even owned slaves. And then he said in 1821, the Cherokee developed a written language. And by 1828, the Cherokee Phoenix, the first Native American newspaper, began publication. And the Cherokee also established a strong something. And I don't know what the rest of that comment was, but a strong something. So apparently he was referring to the Cherokees and some of the early folks in the early days of the development of this country.
Mm-hmm.
But we saw that in the African-American culture, too, because I know some people didn't realize that there were some African-Americans that had slaves and had some things of that nature. And, of course, these were some of the folks that came on as indentured servants in the early days of what was going on in our society. But it was not the systemized oppression that we've seen from other cultures, which is what I think is the big difference, because the greater society did a more systematic kind of oppression that lasted for 400 years. And it doesn't look like it's going to end. Hopefully our young folks will end it and it can stop before we get to 500 years or something like that. But that's what I have noticed, is that the greater concentration was more of a very systematic thing. Mm-hmm. I know the folks at IBM TV are probably going to want to wrap up very shortly and everything, but I did want to hear some of y'all's final thoughts. And if you just had a word of wisdom that you wanted to share with people. And also, I'm going to let you take a crack at that person, the orange one that's up there and everything, because I've got all kinds of mean things that I can say about them, but I'll let y'all have a crack at them. So y'all want to take a crack at the orange one, as well as any advice that you want to give and everything. So if you got some advice just for the world in general and what's going on from our leadership. I'll start with, we'll start with Lakota first.
Well, I think that, you know, ultimately what we need to keep in mind is that, first of all, everybody doesn't like chocolate ice cream. Everybody doesn't like pizza. Everybody doesn't like, you know. And so if we know that out of the gate, you know, I think a lot of things can be resolved and we can actually communicate. I think communication is very, you know, important thing in relationships, in everything, and just talking to regular people, you know. And I think the lack of communication is where the root of, you know, a lot of things and problematic events occur, right? You know, and this thing with, you know, everybody's not going to like Trump. Everybody don't like Obama. Everybody don't like this. But I think if we can control what we can control, you know, and what we can, you know, do with ourselves, then a lot of things could potentially be resolved. Now, I do know in terms of the protesting and in terms of all of that, Maya, as you were talking about earlier, I mean, we've seen this for years, you know. I mean, I was talking to somebody earlier and like Emmett Till bringing that up. I mean, he was like forgotten about unless, you know, this is just another casualty, for example, right? Oh, well, he's the new guy, you know, and it shouldn't be that way. But again, everybody doesn't see eye to eye. And there is a lot of, you know, people think that this is, should happen and this is normal, but it isn't. And you know, there's just things that we can come together and just, if we treat people, you know, the way we want to be treated and just, you know, get what you give, you know, I think the world will be a better place and just live by peace and love is kind of what it amounts to, you know. So
definitely. What did you guys say, Maya?
So I was gonna say this has been awesome. And, you know, I was just going to talk about the mental health piece of it. Like, you know, it's been so much coming at us with quarantining, with, you know, the riots and that stuff. It's like, we need to take some time and just put the phone down, get off of social media, because it does weigh heavy on us in some type of way. You know, whether it's our minds, our bodies, even our eyes. Like the other day I had to look up something for, you know, being on the phone screen the whole time. So even like doing yoga for eyes, that's a thing. Yeah, I've researched it. But just kind of taking some me time away from the screen. I think so. I would love for this week to be a self-care week. Like, I am just so tired. I love Black Lives Matter, but I'm so tired of seeing those posts this week. So just kind of stepping back from the screen and just taking time. So I would say for everybody that's watching and listening, just, you know, just be conscious of the time that you're spending on your phone, all the energy that you're putting in and putting out, and just really take some time for yourself.
Definitely. What about you, Natalie?
Yeah, I'm just like Lagoda mentioned that everybody's not going to like chocolate ice cream. We have to come to terms with that everybody is entitled to their own opinion. And what we can do is just accept a person how the person is, because we're individuals with our own culture, with our own race, with our own thought process. A lot of time it becomes a conflict because we hate each other's ideas. So I think we need to teach kids empathy, and we even need to start practicing empathy. If we're empathetic, we start caring about every living being on this planet Earth. And then we have to just understand that humanity comes first. It's not about the race. It's not about the culture. It's not about the religion. It's just that we need to start understanding that they're one. And it's only going to happen when I love myself and I love everybody. So it's just that we have to fight our ego. The biggest issue in this world today is about ego. We're egoistic about everything, about culture, about religion, about our women, that women should not wear such things because why? It hurts their ego. So if we can just come from a place of love, this world would be a better place to live. So that's all I have to say, to just love and let live and live.
Yeah, it's such a powerful message from all of you. I greatly appreciate all of you being on here. Now, before we get off, I did want to have you both, all three of you, give your social media and ways that folks can get in touch with you. So I actually go backwards. So I'll start with you, Natalie, and then come to Maya and Lakota. But if you'll let folks know that are listening, how they can hear you, and if you've got any performances, I know it'll probably be virtual, but if you've got any performances coming up, let folks know about that as well. But definitely let folks know your social media handles and how they can reach out to you and where they might be able to hear you perform your comedy.
Yeah, you all have been pronouncing my name wrong, but it's okay. it's okay. It's actually Natalia. So it comes from Russian, Natalia. So my Instagram handle is Natalia Gul, N-A-T-A-L-I-A-G-U-L. And you can find me with the same name on YouTube and Twitter and Facebook, Natalia Gul Jilani. As you can see the name here, that's perfectly spelled.
Thank you. And I apologize for that. I'm usually much better at doing that than everything. So, and Lakota's already done, he's already signed up. And
I'm a fall Alia right now.
Hey, it's amazing. Thank you, Mark, for connecting us. This is beautiful.
Totally. Yep.
Glad to do it. And like I said, I do apologize for totally mispronouncing the name. I'm usually good about doing that research and everything.
Natalia, that's like Kobe's daughter named Natalia. Pronounce it like that. My handles are all Maya Table, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. Everything is TikTok, which I don't use, but it's all Maya Table.
Yeah, I keep saying I'm gonna get. I have a TikTok account. I don't have any use for it. I haven't done anything with it. I keep saying I'm gonna do that. I keep saying that I'm gonna get on the one. What's the one that the really young people use, and I think I've got an account with them too, Snapchat, but I haven't created an account on any of those. There's an active account, I should say, even though I think that it's out there somewhere in the ether somewhere, but I don't use them all that much. So it does exist. So don't sleep on those folks over 50. We do use social media. We do get out there and use a lot on social media. Lakota, let folks know how they can reach you.
It's just pretty simple, man. Lakota John. That's it for everything. You can Google that. I got my website. That's my name. Instagram. Minus my Snapchat. My Snapchat is J-O-H-N-N-N, John, L-O-C-K-K. So John, I don't know. I mean, it's long, but you can message me on my Instagram if you want my Snap.
All right, so that's the way you can find the Snap and everything of that nature. Now, do any of you have any performances coming up on the virtual world or anything that you're aware of that's coming up in the near future? Maya, any showings of your film anytime soon, or do you have any performances, Natalia? Yeah, I got it right that time.
Showing the film, it's on YouTube, but I do drop episodes of a show called Cadillacs and Kale, which is with my Uncle Poochie, who he dresses like a pimp every day since I've known him for my whole life. And he's a vegan, so it's just been documenting his life. And then I directed some commercials for Head & Shoulders, so those are airing on YouTube and Facebook now.
All right, cool. Sounds good. Natalia, you got anything coming up performance-wise?
Not really. I don't have anything going on in virtual, but I'm proposing something to the government on how people can stay at home. So I'm going to be doing stay-at-home concerts. We're going to be going to the residential complexes and have a mini concert in the common area so people can watch from the balconies. All that is going to be recorded and put on digital. So yeah, I'll be sharing that with you.
Sounds good. And I'll definitely keep in touch with you. And we'll try to put that out onto the greater world market as well as you get that up and running. And Dakota, you do have anything coming up performing-wise on the virtual world?
On the virtual, well, actually, since North Carolina, we're still, going by the social distancing thing. I'm shooting for a couple of TV shows this month, and I'm writing a song for this one television show. But I don't know when they'll be streaming. So, it's kind of like, I mean, as long as we abide by the 10 or less, it's just going to be the film crew and myself there. And I post stuff on my social media. I just did this project with some guys down in Brazil and stuff, so that was the latest thing. But I'll keep everybody updated.
So. All right, sounds good. So thanks all three of you for being on the show. It was a great conversation. Know that you're all welcome to come back on this show any other afternoon. We do this regularly between 2 until about 3:15, 3:30 or something like that. So know that you're always welcome back. I thoroughly enjoyed having you. And then I also do my later in the evening regular podcast, which is Straight Talk with Dean and Mark. So me and Dean do that. And I know that I've invited all of y'all to come on that whenever you're able to. So that's a separate show, but we do that regularly as well. So you're always welcome. I consider y'all to be, as I say, this quarantining and what's going on in the world has helped us create new friendships. Unfortunately, some of the friendships we don't actually have physical connection with. So like I said, I've met, I've known you for a while, Dakota, but Maya and Natalia, I met y'all through some of the social media things that have been going on and things of that nature. And at some point, I'll actually get a chance to see y'all in person and not just over the wonders of the web. So hopefully that'll happen in the not too distant future. I know there's a gentleman, Shree, that I watch all the time that does these daily COVID talks. And he also does a read along with the New York Times. We've been friends now for about a year or two. I've yet to meet him or any of his production team, and they're scattered throughout. And the same with the IBM TV folks, because Ankit, who is actually one of our producers, is just around the corner from you, Natalia. He's in India. So Ankit is doing a lot of the production work out of India. And then we've got some other producers out of Australia. We've got a young lady that does a music show. So I've got to get you on her show, Dakota, and she does that on Sundays. And she's out from South Africa. So she does a South African music show. And then my buddy Zach on, I believe it's on Sunday as well, he does a show about funk music because he's a longtime funk music artist and actually played at one of George Clinton's birthday parties many moons ago. So we've got all kinds of great programs. We've even got a chess star that is on our show because they try to serve a lot of the underserved market. So there's a chess show that they air. There's some shows that deal with podcasting. So there's like a podcasting episode that they do. So they do a lot of serving of underserved markets. So I'll have to connect you with some of their shows that aren't just my show, but some of the other shows that y'all might fit in as well. They've been talking about doing something with filmmakers, so I don't know whether that's up and running yet, but we are talking about having, as one of the segments, a segment that'll deal with filmmakers where we'll show whole runs of the films that are shorts and smaller narratives. I don't know if they'll do any full narratives, but definitely they'll be showing some films on a regular basis. So I got to put you in touch with them. And like I said, Ankit's in India, so I'm sure there'll be some international kind of flavor as well. So I'm definitely hoping that y'all all come back to my show, but we're going to try to plug you into some others as well. So been great having y'all on. I've got to get back to doing some of my other regular work here, and then I'm going to get prepared for the podcast this evening. So, and Dakota, you'll be glad to know, because everybody see me looking gruff. One of my appointments is in about an hour and a half. I got to go see Mr. Barber. So nobody will see the trimmed down version on the radio show because it's a radio show and it's all audio. So there's no visual, but I was actually supposed to see him Saturday, but somehow I thought 9 was 10 and he thought 10 was 9, but I was the one in fault because I did look back at the schedule and I had the hour wrong. So that being said, I was supposed to look much trimmer and much nicer for y'all, but such is life.
All right, Mark.
All right, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Great meeting you all.
Take care. All right, thanks.
Take it easy.
Bye-bye.
You too. Bye. Bye.
All right, that wraps up another edition of the Mark Lee Radio Show. I hope that everybody here had a grand old time. I'm going to check on out of here, and I'm going to see if my producer Ankit is anywhere nearby, and he might want to chat with me about the show. But I think that we had a good show, and I think we had some very lively discussion. So I hope that everybody enjoyed meeting my three friends, Natalia, who is a comedian from Pakistan, as well as a dentist, as well as Maya Table, a filmmaker who is currently based in the Atlanta area, and of course, my good friend here in North Carolina, Lakota John, who is a longtime roots musician. So definitely had a great conversation, had some interesting conversations about all kinds of things, and I hope that everybody here thoroughly enjoyed the show. So I'm going to call it a afternoon. Like I said, I'm going to go try to get that haircut in about another hour and a half, and then me and Dean will be doing our regular podcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we've got some great guests on that as well. So if you're not familiar with the show, go to blogtalkradio.com/squared807. And we'll be doing that from 7 until 9 o'clock. We've got some amazing guests on that as well. Not as much with the artistic people, but definitely some other guests. Even though we do have Brevin Hamden, and Brevin is definitely out of the world of music. But we've got some activists as well as some entrepreneurs. So looking forward to another great conversation at that time. But in the meantime, I'm here to check out and everybody has a great evening. Don't forget, you can check the rebroadcast of this at a later date on our Next Level Podcasting Network as well. And of course, you can always catch it here on IBM TV, on the YouTube channel, and various other places. But until next week, y'all have a safe time, and I'll be seeing y'all out and about, and of course, out in the world, both virtually, and hopefully as we get more out and about, in the real world also.